Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Off course from an ethical center. I believe, yes, it is the job of the president to name this.
And again, we just have a short time, and you do have specific proposals and policies, and I'd like to get to a couple more of them right now. You are a candidate who believes that African Americans should receive reparations for slavery, specifically $100 billion paid out in a 10-year annual installment of $10 billion. Is this symbolic, or do you think this money goes to some practical purpose?
This is not symbolic at all. At the end of the Civil War, General Tecumseh Sherman promised to every formerly enslaved person 40 acres and a mule. And those 40 acres and a mule would have given a formerly enslaved population an opportunity to reintegrate, to integrate into free society. What happened instead, of course, was black code laws were passed in the American South, which ensured subpar social and political and economic opportunities for the former slave population. This was not addressed for 100 years until the Civil Rights Movement. And while the Civil Rights Movement gave Voting Rights Act, although that has been chipped away since 2013, and gave a lot of political opportunities that had not been there for the 100 years previous, it did not address the fact that we have not yet paid that debt. Germany has paid $89 billion in reparations to Jewish organizations since World War II, and Ronald Reagan signed the American Civil Liberties Act, by which we paid every surviving member who had been interned during the World War II in the Japanese internment camps $22,000. I believe $100 billion given to a council that would apply this money to economic economic projects and educational projects of renewal for that population is simply a debt to be paid. And until we pay it, we will deal with these issues.
You are not a novice to politics. You've been a political activist for years. You also ran for Congress, people don't know this, in California in 2014. What do you see as your path to victory here for the Democratic nomination? Do you think you can win?
First of all, Donald Trump is president. So this idea of predicting who can win, we should throw all of that out the window. My strategy is not strategy. My strategy is that I seek to speak as deeply, articulately, and passionately as I can what I see to be the deeper truths confronting our nation, challenging our nation to live up to them. I'm speaking from the depth of myself to the depth of the American in all of us. This is not strategy. The whole strategic mind is part of the corruption of the political system. I'm not trying to figure out what to say to get people to vote for me. I'm seeking to have the conversation that I believe we need to be having. These are very serious times. We need to be very serious, deep thinkers. I'm not trying to get shallow or superficial so people will hear me. I'm inviting the American people to get deep with me. It's time for that in order to address these times and to transform them.
Well, Marianne Williamson, we appreciate you coming on and having the conversation here. You're in Iowa today, in Des Moines. You're headed to South Carolina. I know this is a real campaign. Again, you've got a campaign manager. There's a website here with a lot of policies. We look forward to speaking to you again as the campaign season continues.
Thank you. I appreciate your having me on.
Erica?
During that particular interview, you talked about a variety of issues that also got people talking. One of them dealt with your views on interracial marriage.
Yes, sir.
And so so explain that for folks who did not hear it.
Certainly. Simply put, any black man who is with a woman who's not an African herself is going to have a difficult time getting respect from me. I believe black men need to be with black women. The black family is under attack. Only one out of every four black women gets married. The black woman is last likely to get married. She's the last married, the first divorced. We have, what, two-thirds of our children being raised by working-class and impoverished single black female-led households. The destruction of a nation begins in the home of its families. And if we want to save black people, we have to save the black family.
So,
and in order to do that, black men have to commit themselves to black women.
So when you talk about not getting your respect, if that's the case, you're saying President Barack Obama didn't get your respect because his dad married a white woman?
Oh, not at all.
Would Harry Belafonte?
Not at all. I want to be very clear about something. As Pan-Africanists, the product of an interracial union is an African. I have heroes who are biracial. Some of the grandfathers of Pan-Africanism were of mixed racial ancestry. You don't blame a child for how they got here.
But I'm asking you this here. Harry Belafonte has a white wife. No respect for him?
It would be very. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your social status.
No. I didn't say social. I'm talking about the one who put the work.
Right, but you put him out.
No. I'm asking you. So mm-hmm. Harry Belafonte.
Yes, sir.
Sidney Poitier, Julian Bond, Vernon Jordan.
And you're naming all them to say what?
No, these are all African American men
mm-hmm.
who have
done some good things.
Who have married white women. But you said any black man who marries a white woman will not get your respect.
Can I respond?
Yeah, go ahead.
And what I'm telling you is this: I don't care who you name. I don't care how much work you did for black people. Your greatest commitment to black people is being committed to a black woman. It is still a contradiction. No matter how much you think you did for the struggle, if you really were concerned with black people, you would have committed yourself to a black woman. So it doesn't matter how successful they are. It doesn't matter how great you may claim them to be. At the end of the day, you didn't think enough about your own people to marry a woman who looks like you.
Okay, today's podcast is titled Mount Rushmore 2.0, and my Mount Rushmore 2.0 is Jeff Bezos, Barack Obama, Sir Richard Branson, Donald Trump. That's my Mount Rushmore. What's your route, Mount Rushmore? I'm going to tell you in what context. Versus reparations, 619-768-2945 is a call-in number. Today, about an hour or so ago, Jeff Bezos successfully launched Blue Origin. You know, that's him going into space. Private industry. off-the-grid industry, so to speak, new industry. And what, last week or the week before, you had Sir Richard Branson go up with a different type of space vehicle, but he went into space. And I think Elon Musk, he's got another one. He's got something planned as well. But in any event, I'm calling these guys Mount Rushmore 2.0. And here's the common denominator, at least my perception of a common denominator with these four gentlemen. Once again, my Mount Rushmore 2.0 is Jeff Bezos, President Barack Obama, Sir Richard Branson, and Donald Trump. Let's start off with Barack Obama. Barack Obama, when he got elected, particularly the first time he got elected President of the United States, he was not a part of the old boy network. He didn't have the financial backing of the typical person who was part of the old boy network at that time. And, of course, you know, the obvious thing is he wasn't the first black president. he was the first black president, but there were no previous black presidents officially elected. You know, some people have their – well, I'm not – that's another podcast on that. But anyway, so there was no other official black presidents of the United States elected prior to him. And – He set records. He raised more money. He didn't need any matching funds from the government. He basically did it off-grid, or practically off-grid, because social media. Barack Obama won that first election overwhelmingly because of email and the use of social media. Matter of fact, the only time I've, so far that I've been involved in any type of, well, not the only time, but it was during that time that I got, you know, volunteered in national politics was when he got elected. It was a friend of mine that I met doing volunteer work in the renewable energy field, and she was telling me how she, you know, I was fascinated with the marketing, because when she was talking to me about, you know, what was going on in the Obama camp at one of the campaign offices or whatever, I was listening to her from a marketing point of view, and I was totally amazed, so amazed that the next day I went and volunteered at the office, and just, I was totally amazed. People were donating minutes from their cell phones, and I mean, it was really high tech, low tech infused with high tech. You had a lot of grassroots people, but a lot of those grassroots people had cell phones with minutes. So, and then, like I say, so matter of fact, the person that told me about it, that's how I met her, by doing volunteer work, by, you know, just being online. So, example number one, Barack Obama won that election by essentially going off-grid. And when I'm saying off-grid, he really didn't rely on the traditional regulated means of raising money for that first election. And he didn't rely on traditional mainstream on-the-grid media for that first election. Social media basically was off-grid. All right, now, next person in my Mount Rushmore 2.0, Donald Trump. Now, Obama Okay. He did 8 years. All right. Right after Obama, we had President Donald Trump. Donald Trump, you know, very polarizing personality. But when he was running for office, you had people in his own party that was bombing him out. But the one thing, the edge, and I would say the decisive edge that Donald Trump had over his opponents, one was like Jeb Bush, and Jeb Bush had a war chest, I think, like of $100 million, and he threw in the towel. And he's got two. He's got a brother that was formerly a president of the United States, and his dad was a former president of the United States and VP under Reagan. He's the one to tell. But Donald Trump, say what you want about him, but he knew and used social media better than any other people running against him in that when he first ran for office. So you've got Obama with 8 years. Then you got Trump with another 4 years. That's 12 consecutive years on a federal level that the so-called old boy network didn't know how to use or harness the power of social media to its advantage. Even with Biden in there, okay, Biden, which is the way I look at it, is a holdover from Barack Obama, okay? So, you know, we're going on in 16 years. You know, by the end of his four terms, he's just in his first year here. So that's why I put them in my Mount Rushmore 2.0, Trump as well as Obama. Now, this morning, a couple hours ago, Jeff Bezos, who many of the people, at least that live in the United States, you probably got something in your house that was delivered by Amazon. I know I do. Matter of fact, the laptop that I'm using came here by Jeff Bezos. I got a tablet. I got two tablets. But you know what? Both my tablets was delivered by Amazon. And was interesting. Now, space, you know, because he had a successful launch this morning. I watched the whole thing, man. If you guys missed the launch, go to YouTube and watch it. One of the amazing things about the launch was that, like, the main rocket, you know, it came back down to Earth and landed. Man, this was like out of one of the sci-fi movies from back in the day. It landed right back on on the launching pad. In any event, Jeff Bezos with Blue Origin, you know, it's another industry. Space travel for the private citizen is open. Now, he wasn't the first one. We're going to get to Branson in a moment. He's my fourth member of my Mount Rushmore, and I call him this Mount Rushmore 2.0. Okay. Nobody even has to go to Mars or have to go to the moon. I mean, it's mind-boggling the industries within the industries that are going to pop up due to the, not only today's laws, but I mean, like I'm going to go into Branson in a moment. But anyway, check it out on Facebook. Now, but this dude, okay, all right, once again, online, because Amazon, all right, and people that, if you want to aspire to, if becoming a billionaire is something that you aspire to do one day, get into something, get into an industry that has little or no government regulation. Bezos, okay, look, we have to go back in the time machine on this one. Bezos started off by selling shoes. Virtually zero regulation when you sell shoes. Nike, same thing. Nike doesn't even make its shoes. It's made over in Asia. They're made over in Asia. But in any event, as a matter of fact, Apple computers, Apple products, they're not. We're talking about virtually industries that have little or no government regulation. Bezos started off with selling shoes, and now he's launched something in the space. And in between that, they're also selling tickets. So you can send them an email, and if you're interested in it, I think the tickets are millions of dollars, but there's a market for it. They were promoting, before they signed off this morning, they were selling tickets. If you want to book a flight, and I think they have at least two more flights booked for this year, 2021. All right. So, but Bezos, once again, so, man, off the grid stuff, man. You know, I've been talking that from day one. I've been talking about off the grid stuff here. But that's how Dick went from selling shoes online to launching a rocket ship. E-commerce, and there's a whole lot in the Bezos thing that the average person listening to this podcast, this live stream, that you can get into that you don't need. To get into space exploration, you know, you need a lot of money. To sell shoes online, you really don't. There's a lot of opportunity in e-commerce. There's a subset within e-commerce called social commerce. And we'll do some podcasts or live streams on that. But this opportunity after opportunity after opportunity that Bezos is put into motion. So that's why he's on my Mount Rushmore 2.0. Okay. The last person on my Mount Rushmore 2.0 is Sir Richard Branson, who about a couple of weeks ago, he launched his Virgin Atlantic space program. Has a different type of, it's more like a plane, it looks like. And it's all part of the private space industry. It's here. It's been birthed. Okay, and his trip was successful, and they're selling tickets too. Matter of fact, I haven't flown on Virgin Atlantic yet, but I'm gonna find. Next time I'm going to take a trip to Europe or whatever, I'm going to tell my travel person, book me on Virgin Atlantic if it's going to that particular location. So, but now, today's podcast, let's put this in context of today's title of the podcast. Mount Rushmore 2.0, Bezos, Obama, Branson, and Trump. That's my Mount Rushmore 2.0. Those four major players. And versus reparations. Now, the reason why I stuck reparations, I'm putting this into context, because while some people, and there's a lot of people, I don't know what the number is numerically, I don't know what the percentage is as far as African Americans getting reparations, but and you know what? If that's your thing, and if you want to go for that, more power to you. But while you're going for reparations, and this is just L.A.'s opinion, while you're seeking to get a come up from the government from something that that didn't even happen to you 200, 300, 400 years ago, while you're driving down the road, let me illustrate what reparations looks like to me. You're in a car, you're driving down the road, and you're looking in the rearview mirror, seeing what's going on in the rearview mirror. You're constantly looking at the rearview mirror, and you're neglecting what's in front of you. And if you keep on looking at behind you, and you neglect what's going on in front of you on the road, you're eventually going to have an accident, run off the road or something. That's my view or analogy of reparations in 2021. But that's just me. I'm just one person. Now, while you're doing that, people are in the now opening up industry. You know, there are industries and jobs that have not been invented yet based on the space flight this morning of Jeff Bezos. Now, some of those, if you get involved with STEM on an educational academic level, you know, you'll be in a comfort zone where you'll find out some of these new industries and some of these new jobs that haven't been. They have. What's today's date? The 20th of July, 2021. There are going to be jobs that will be created within the next 90 to actually 365 days. There are going to be new jobs and industries that popped up based on today's launch, less than 3 hours ago. But if you're looking at reparations, you're going to miss the boat for the most part. People that are, and there's always going to be some type of gang somewhere around. Hopefully, there's some gangbanger out here, some Crip of blood, that saw the launch this morning of Jeff Bezos, or saw the launch and successful reentry of Sir Richard Branson, Virgin Galactic. The Virgin Atlantic is the airline. Virgin Galactic is the space program, private industry. Hopefully there'll be some gangbanger, some crick of blood that saw, and thank God for YouTube, will look at a video of what Sir Richard Branson did, a private citizen, not a rocket scientist. And Jeff Bezos, because the whole Blue Origin launch was automated. Okay. And so, you know what? I want to get on that team. They're doing something positive and constructive. And you know what? I can make money with this. I don't know who that gangbanger might be. But it's going to be, they'll write a book some years from now. It'll come out. But for those who want reparations, hey, do your thing. Keep on marching. Keep on protesting. And, here's where the okie doke's coming. You got Asheville, North Carolina. They're working on a reparations bill, not based on the Civil War now or actual slavery in the United States. The city of Detroit, they're working on something with dealing with reparations. And then what's that place in Illinois? I forgot the name of the town. Anyway, it's about an hour outside of Chicago, something like that. They're working on reparations as well. What That's the okie doke. While you're looking for a come up by the government, you're getting left in the dust with what's going on in real time. We're talking about e-commerce, social commerce, even where they launched the Blue Origin today. Okay, off-grid there's a bunch of off-grid communities. So you see, I bought 10 acres of land 5 years ago in a county right next to that in Texas. I know, and I discovered that part of the country because I went to college in West Texas. That part of Texas is known as Far West Texas. But they're off-grid as more and more people, thanks to the Internet, discover, you know what? Man, instead of struggling in Los Angeles or San Francisco or Chicago or Miami, I'm going to the desert and live there. So they're off-grid communities there already. There are communities there that where people basically, you know, live off-grid with solar, you know, solar energy and rain harvesting, and you know, they don't get utility bills. But the off-grid communities, their whole Bezos thing, it's with the Blue Origin where he launched it and all that. Now, granted, you're not going to have a whole wave of people that are going to. Now, I'm speaking to the pioneers because the people that are city-bound, they're not going to move to the area. But trust me, there are people living out there in Van Horn, Texas, and a lot of towns out there that you never heard of, and it's just not Texas. But there are places like this in Illinois, California, Alaska, Maine, even here in Florida, where people are moving, and it might not be a mass migration that's all in your face, but there are people that are moving, in air quotes here, off-grid. And you can, you know, decipher that any kind of way you want to. But in any event, that's my take. Or anyway, I think the way the ball is going right now, when it comes to reparations, you'll have more cities that are going to make up their own reparations legislation targeted towards black folk here in the United States, particularly African, or what they call African American. And you're going to have a number of African Americans that bite on the local reparations apple. And I think it'll all be weaponized. But while you're doing that, the industries that pop up via Virgin Galactic, Blue Origin, Elon Musk is right in there too, because even with Elon Musk not even doing anything in outer space, you know, with his electric cars, and we got to get Mims on here, Ed Mims, because he's black. You know, electric cars is an industry too. But while and I don't know what the percentage of black folks are going to get into the reparations thing, but that will be the knockout punch for some. Now, on the positive end, because I'm not saying all black folks are doomed, like I say, with my Mount Rushmore, I don't know what your Mount Rushmore is, but I don't think you can beat the Mount Rushmore of the impact on society on a global level of Bezos, Obama, Sir Richard Branson, and Donald Trump. Those cats have all successfully use off-the-grid methods, and I'm including social media in off-the-grid methods, to get the foothold on society that they wanted to get. And it is so violent that, well, you know, we'll do other things on this. And anyway, 619-768-2945, what are your thoughts? Do you have a Mount Rushmore 2.0? And that'll be four people. Now, notice, I don't put anything with sports in here. If I had to put, if I had to use a sports analogy, I would use starting five. Okay. And I would have to put LaVar Ball in the list as a starting five. Intellectual property, I think you'll see more and more people like him that, and we're talking about on the high school level, I believe somewhere down the line you're going to see, and I think this will be a good opportunity for black folk. And LaVar Ball's done this already. A high schooler that starts their own athletic apparel or sportswear company. The cat's out of the bag. Matter of fact, Nike cat out of the bag. And we go right back to Jeff Bezos on this. Jeff Bezos, this dude started with selling shoes. He didn't make the damn shoes. He took the order for shoes, got the money up front, okay, got the shoes. He already made his money up front with the profit, and then, you know, mailed the shoes. He went from that humble beginning to launching a rocket ship about 3 hours ago. In the great state of Texas. No victim stories there. All right, 619-768-2945 will be getting to you in a moment.
How do I have my power and my commitment if I don't have the sources, the income or a home or the power to help our people?
Well, I would argue that the income in a home is often a barrier to your commitment.
Mm.
What I find today is black people who have that education, who are in a privileged position, that privileged position often becomes a barrier to them reaching back to help other African people. If you look at what's going on in the NFL right now, where you have these very aggressive alpha males, our black athletes, particularly our NFL athletes in particular, they're gladiators, they're warriors. They're some of the biggest, meanest men you'll ever see in your life.
Yes, they
are.
But
when it comes to confronting white supremacy, structural inequity, racism, and systemic discrimination, they are some of the most cowardly black men I've ever seen in my life. Ray Lewis, Shaquille O'Neal, Lil Wayne, just to name a few of the most ridiculous excuses for black men I've seen over the past couple of weeks and what they've had to say out of their mouths on national television. I mean, for Lil Wayne to sit up there and say he's never dealt with racism. You are from Louisiana. You are a richly melanated black man from the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there's no black man in America. I think we would all agree that Barack Obama may have been the most privileged black man ever.
Yeah.
Even he has had to deal with racism. I know rich black males, they have had to deal with racism.
Right.
I know biracial black males, they have had to deal with racism. But you're going to...
There's a direct...
Before I go to the phone lines, played a little bit of, what's his name, Dr. Claude Anderson. I believe, for the most part, Dr. Claude Anderson... Based in, and I'm putting this into my It's My House context. His spills that he gave in the past, I'm saying the past because hopefully he'll have a new spill starting today or sometime this week. His spill and his pitch is officially, in my mind at least, played out. So you're not going to be able to use the excuse of racism and white supremacy to get into space. It's not going to happen. The professions, the industries that are going to pop up, like I said, they're jobs that haven't even been invented yet, but they're going to be invented within, I'm going with cycles, every 60 to 90 days, there's going to be some kind of new job or industry that's going to pop up just based on the last 2 weeks. Based on the launch, the space launch this morning with Bezos and Virgin Galactic a couple of weeks ago with Sir Richard Branson. It's going to be just like with social media. There are people that haven't even caught up with the job creation of social media. There are going to be apps on your phone available, I would say within the next 90 days, we'll put it next 90 to 180 days, based on the Blue Origin launch this morning, no more than 3 hours ago. If those apps aren't available right now. So practically everything that might come out of Umar Johnson's mouth, and I've played my share of Umar Johnson on this podcast, irrelevant. Now we want to go to the phone lines, take your comments on it, and I want to hear, who's your Mount Rushmore? Who are your four? Who are the four individuals that you would pick that have had let's keep it towards, I'm going global here. Because even with, what's his name, Donald Trump, we're talking about a private citizen who decided to run for president. He never ran for any political office before, not to my knowledge. He never ran for dog catcher. Never was mayor, didn't hold any kind of elected office before, but he knew how to use social media, which I consider a basically off-the-grid technology that the governments have not learned, they haven't figured out how to regulate it. That's why President Donald Trump is in my Mount Rushmore. There'll be other people that get elected to office around the globe just like they did because they know they're learning or have learned how to harness the power of social media and the internet. That's why he's in my Mount Rushmore. My Mount Rushmore 2.0, Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, President Barack Obama, President Obama. Who's your four? Tell me in 2 minutes.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.0005% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Okay. 619-768-2945. Who's your Mount Rushmore 2.0? Mine's Bezos, Obama, Branson, and Trump. I think a lot of things that Claude Anderson said, you can. That's what got a lot of those guys used. Obama's the sole black person out of that Mount Rushmore, and I think you'll have more Obamas coming up because I'm gonna tell you why. another reason why I put him in here, not so much. Part of the reason was his mastery of using social media to get elected president of the United States. But Barack Obama and his in the first family, Michelle Obama, his wife, the first lady, his two daughters, and his mother-in-law, okay, and even his brother-in-law, but the first family, there are quite a few people, thousands, or probably, well, millions now, that for the first Obama, he did 8 years. Trump did 4, so that's 12. There are a lot of 13-year-olds that are walking around the United States right now. Black, white, Chinese, you name it, across all colors from ethnicity. To them, there are a lot of 13-year-olds and under that a black person being in power is normal to them. I'm a baby boomer. And I remember there was a time where I said it myself at one time. Now, a black person can't become a president of the United States. But there's a lot of 13-year-olds, and the 13-year-olds are part of Generation Z. And I feature Generation Z on here every now and then. One of them's Laura Nelson. Laura Nelson's 12 years old now, I think. Laura Nelson was 11 years old when she she renovated her own tiny house. She's 12 years old right now. That's Generation Z. Go on YouTube, there's a bunch of 13, 14, 15-year-olds that have built their own debt-free house. One of them, she's about 19, I don't think she's 20 yet, Marie TV, young black girl, got pregnant at 15, had a child at 16. She bought a shed and converted the shed into a tiny house for her and her son. Had nothing to do with, what do you call it, the social services office. Didn't go on welfare, not a hood rat, and she's got quite a following on YouTube. Young black lady, 19, I don't think she's 20 yet, but that's what she did at 16 years old. Generation Z. So you got, like I said, there's a whole bunch of 13-year-olds and under that they know what normal to them is no big deal to have a black family in power. Where one of the kids is learning Mandarin Chinese. Jeff Bezos and Richard Brent going, it's normal to them. That's why Barack Obama is in my Mount Rushmore 2.0. I don't know Donald Trump. I'm just thinking, I think one of the thoughts that ran in Donald Trump's mind when he ran for president was, you know what? Now, this guy, because you know Trump's got a big ego. Okay. He probably said, you know what? Now, if this dude can become president, I can become. He never ran for. And first time out on a Hail Mary. And he won. That's why these guys are in my Mount Rushmore 2.0. And there'll be other people, and some might run for dog catcher. Some might run for mayor. Some might see a condition in their community that they don't like and run for public office because they're looking at, you know what, now if, you know, because like I said, Trump's very polarizing. If he can do it and a lot of people don't like him, then I can do it. Some of those people are running and make it. Okay, 314, your mic is open.
Hello, Ellie. How you doing?
I'm no complaints on this end. I'm pumped up by the Blue Origin space launch this morning.
Yeah, I really appreciate him. That is another one of my areas of strong interest, is intergalactic exploration, travel, and the extraction of minerals that's present on asteroids. Only thing is, you have to have a large vehicle to be able to carry those minerals. I don't think that there's just, they haven't been developed yet.
Mm-hmm.
What's
your take on, because I know your grandson's up on things due to your guidance, what would you recommend that people that are in high school or even in, what they call it, middle school now, what are some of the classes or curriculum that they should probably, if they're interested in what they saw this morning with the Blue Origin space, you know, Blue Origin as well as Virgin Galactic.
Well, that's not up to the kids. That's the parents that are supposed to lead that.
Okay.
You know, children are not going to do it by themselves. Children are going to gravitate to whatever it is that's being projected by their peers and what's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But all children, I think, and it's not going to be all because they just don't have it. But they should be exposed to chemistry, physics, mechanics, electronics,
mm-hmm.
biology, magnetism, solar, astronomy. Those are things that they should be exposed to. When I was a kid, I was exposed very strongly to electronics.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that I just gravitated to. And I came up at the time of breakthroughs with integrated circuits and miniaturization, which was a byproduct of the space program.
Right.
I built my first I built our first color TV with the remote control. And that was a big thing. I had to get a long broom.
Did you subscribe to
No, I didn't subscribe to Popular Mechanics. Nope, I didn't.
Okay.
I started off as being in radios. Of course, we started off playing with CB radios. Then the ham radios. I built my ham radio equipment, including the amplifiers, which I used 2-3-Z500 vacuum tubes. And I had, you know how they have these pager-type burglar alarms?
Yeah.
For your automobile?
Mm-hmm.
See, I had an electronic computer-operated van, a 68 Dodge Maxi. I bought and stripped and bought just bare van and customized it because it was during the time of van customization. So I had electronics in it, everything from that which would tell you that the basic things that cars tell you today, ETA, miles traveled, miles left with the fuel you got in the tank. I even had voice-operated doors where I would say open sesame and the door open.
Okay.
So,
you know, when you said it, I just thought about on one of my tablets, I got what that Alexa. I don't use it that much, but,
yeah.
Alexa, that, yeah, so.
Yeah, Alexa. Then I built a robot that used infrared and sonar. For avoiding, well, they use the sonar for measurement, and they use the infrared to avoid things. And it had a charging station where it would back itself up into when its batteries went low.
You know what, Pianchi? Yeah, I saw a video yesterday. Probably all saw a video like this. There was a robot that was flipping burgers.
Yeah, with the mechanical actuations nowadays, they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have mechanical actuations like that back when I was doing these things. The articulate arms that they have, that didn't exist nowadays, back then. A lot of sensors have been developed where you can have, today you can have microprocessors that can think. What it is that when it does an operation, the electrons remain in a certain position, and that's their memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to get to a point where some of these machines will be able to think. And what it's doing is just comparing a lot of experiences and the experience that they're looking at today, what they're looking at right now, has a number to it. See, any place you've been, okay, you in the house right now.
Right.
If you leave that room and go to another room, where you are now, you have created a blueprint, an esperance in that space that you're in. That will remain for some time.
Okay.
It's just like a fingerprint. You put your hand down, you leave a print. You go someplace else, you come back, that print's still there. Well, the same thing exists with your electronic aurora based on your living cells. Your living cells give off an aurora. They give off their own blueprint. And at some point in time in the future, that would be used in forensics to tell who's been here.
Yeah.
Follow me what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not only that, in every person, forensic aurora is associated to them. So you can look down at a crowd of people and identify who each and every one of them are. Now, I think that there already exists, but I'm not sure because things exist with what they call MIL, military specs, that come out way before you would see it as a common consumable item. Always have been like that. You know, when I was a ham radio operator, used moon bounce. What is moon bounce? Moon bounce is what you do, the same thing you do with satellites today. You beam up to one satellite and in this geocentric position in space where it has a larger footprint to look down upon, it can relay or reflect that signal down to that large area. Well, we should do that with the moon. You should do moon bounce. You had some antennas. You pointed at the moon, and you transmit, and that transmission could be heard in California.
Hmm. Is that like the concept of what do they call them, radio bleed over? Where you, I remember when I was in high, even in college. Like for instance, I used to be in D.C. and then 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I used to hear radio stations. There was one particular radio station, WOWO, WOWO Radio, out of Indiana.
Yeah, that was coming off the ionosphere.
Okay.
It's that charged body of in our atmosphere up at a very high elevation where signals bounce off of. In CB radio, they call it skip.
Mm-hmm.
Skip talking. So at nighttime, because that the atmosphere has been charged by the sun, and it creates like a reflective field. It is reflective because it reflects the harmful radiations that's coming from outer space from many sources, from entering and penetrating, the Earth's atmosphere. Thus, it could cause some harmful effects to human beings, radiations like you've never seen. A radiation at a different wave. Like me and you talking, we're talking about at 80 hertz. What you're talking about in the gigahertz. In microwave, something that can penetrate through the skin. That's basically all it is, same thing. Microwave is how fast a molecule vibrates back and forth. And the faster it vibrates, its signal, or its path is smaller. A smaller path has the ability to get through smaller things, smaller space things. One of the days you'd be able to walk through a wall, because a wall really technically is not solid. It appears to be solid because the molecules that make up their wall is so closely bound. I mean, if you really want to talk about that. But in essence, they got space between them. They got to have space between them. They wouldn't exist. You just can't get down to that.
Well, yeah, I remember that from, fourth grade science class. It is space. We can't see it with the naked eye, but between the molecules and all that.
Yeah, and see, there's space, and then there's the universe. And space is boundless. Nobody can even conceive that. It's trying to imagine traveling. You can't get up from your chair and walk, close your eyes, and walk indefinitely without hitting something. Well, the way the concept of space is that you can travel in a direction and never hit something. That's inconceivable with the mind, the brain that we have, trying to figure out exactly what it is that we're living with. Your constraints is constrained by your brain. That's a human brain. That's why a human being would never be able to understand one another, because they both got brains, the same makeup. But anyway.
All right.
Hold
on there, Bianchi. Let me play a short clip and then go to the next caller here. Let's take, once again, my Mount Rushmore is Bezos, Obama, Branson, and Trump. And we put that in the context of versus reparations. But I'm going to play a clip from The Art of War by Umar Johnson. I believe now a lot of stuff that Umar is saying is not worth it.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
Okay. Umar Johnson, as far as this clip goes, I agree with him that we, black folk, we have to become financially literate. And in the context of the rocket launch this morning and of Virgin Atlantic a couple of weeks ago, and as Pianki stated, parents are going to have to guide their children, and Umar Johnson, who's opening up a school, hopefully he'll be guiding people into the proper disciplines to take advantage of these industries that are being birthed. So I'll give Umar Johnson credit on that. Anyway, let me go to the phone lines. 410, your mic is open.
Hotep, Brother Ellie, and everybody in out there in podcast land, how are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Before I get started, I want to really give a person the flowers while they're living. You know, I've said it in the past, even though I don't agree with much that he says, I want to give Pianki his kudos, and I want to make sure that he knows that. And I've said it in the past, and he hasn't taken me up on it. He needs to get a ghostwriter to write his autobiography. And the thing is, he's really accomplished quite a bit, and he's had a very interesting life. But with that said, I want to move on to the subject. Of course, I want to wrap him upside the head sometimes, but, you know, I do give credit where credit is due. Look, my Mount Rushmore is the head of the unknown African-American slave. And the thing is...
And I like the way you put that.
Everything that we enjoy, get that, look on the phone and get that for me. Everything that we enjoy today and everything that the modern world and society does today has come from that genius and that brawn. All of the things that you just mentioned a few minutes ago wouldn't have been possible without that black African-American slave. You name
it. You know what, B, I got to give you a whole lot of credit on that. I agree with you 1,000,000,000%. The unknown African slave definitely is worthy of a Mount Rushmore. No question about it. You're right.
Everything. You name it. Medicine, science, politics, finance. Everything in the on the globe has come out of the genius and the brawn of the African-American slave. Without the slavery part that they suffered under, none of all you see in this world today would have been possible. Now, my second head on Mount Rushmore would be Booker T. Washington. Singer Hammond.
Damn good selection.
Well, hey, look, I'm getting to the part where you're gonna disagree with me, but
yeah, I agree with you. I'm on board with the first two. I'm on board with.
Okay. Booker T. Washington, before he died, organized and institutionalized the black community. He was responsible for the National Negro Business League that organized just about every, if not every businessman, black businessman in this country. He influenced a whole bunch more with his National Negro Business League. And the thing is that we don't give him enough credit for it. He also organized all of the business. I guess you could say, well, I put it this way. He organized all of the business sectors of his time with the affiliates, the National Negro Business Bankers Association, the, what is it, the National Medical Association, the National Funeral Association. It was
and
about
Beasley, he also inspired some people through his book, Up From Slavery. Some people read that book and started and bought their own acreages of land and started their own townships.
I was getting ready to go with that, and he inspired the black Wall Streets, the black business district. So, and look, out of him, because he influenced me, and look, the National Negro Business League was international, whether you know it or not. It was in Africa. It was in some parts of the Caribbean, along with the United States. So he was global in what he was doing before his death. And had he not been assassinated, he probably would have come up with the National Financial Association, which would have really put a lot of capital to work in the black communities. I think that's what it was called, the National Financial Association. My third one... And look, out of Booker T. Washington, he inspired, and he was the chief architect or the mentor with Marcus Garvey, who created a worldwide organization called the United Negro Improvement Association, of which I was a member of, that was all over the globe. So with him, I got to give him the second head. The third head I would give to a gentleman that a lot of people are not familiar with is William Washington Brown, that was in charge of the United Reformers Association. United Reformers.
You said William Washington Brown?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
W.W. Brown. And he was instrumental in going in, and really he was the architect of what you see in modern corporations today. He organized the first black bank, even though he didn't open it. I think that the bank in Washington, D.C., black bank in Washington, D.C., was the first to open, but he organized the first black bank. He had the insurance companies. He had a conglomerate of businesses, which is the, I guess you could say, is the prototype of what corporations do today. I mean, he had a variety of businesses all the way from the time you stepped out of the womb all the way to the time that you died. He covered black life that way. Banking, insurance, farming, funeral homes, real estate, hotels, you name it. It was a conglomerate. And that's my third one.
And very good choice. I'm reading about him right now. That's a very solid choice. I'm with you. I'm on board with that one, too.
Okay, now here's where we part company. My fourth head on Mount Rushmore is Al Sharpton. And I say that because he is the lone black man in this country that can galvanize and mobilize blacks to a cause. Even before social media, even before the internet, he was able to go in and rally black people for a just cause. And the thing is, he's the only conservative that's out here. There's not, I mean, without any competition, that can go in, and if there's a problem, he can bring attention to that cause. And with white media, black media, and everybody else, and most of the time, if not all the time, he gets results. And he's the only champion out here for black causes. I can't think of another one that has that power, not a black politician, white politician. You name it. And he's very articulate in the way that he goes in and really strategizes his methods. So those are my four Mount Rushmore.
You know, although I'm not an Al Sharpton fan, but I cannot deny what you said. He can definitely organize and galvanize a crowd.
Not only can he galvanize a crowd, he can formulate the strategy to where that group of people can go in and sway political opinion, the court of public opinion, to the point that whatever cause he's fighting against or fighting for, it usually turns out in his favor.
Well, he did it with Mike Brown. He did it with, hey man, you got a solid four people.
Oh, I know I had. I mean, look, I didn't even name them all.
And one of them I never even heard of before until you mentioned it.
And look, I know William Washington Brown. If you read what he did and the organizations that he created, he's the prototype of all the other modern corporations out here now. You name it. And look, I mean, if you were a black person, was to be a good, solid citizen. And he also had a youth portion in his organization where he trained youth to be frugal in their finances. And one of his disciples was First black woman bank president in the country, well, the first woman president in the country, and the first woman head CEO of a corporation. But let me throw this one in since you gave out a fifth one. Elijah McCoy, the greatest inventor in this world.
The real McCoy.
He had about 56 or 57 patents. He was able to sue. What's the Wizard of New Jersey? The white boy that gets all the credit for all of those inventions. I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, you're talking about Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison. He sued Thomas Edison for trying to steal one of his patents. But whenever you hear that phrase, give me the real McCoy, he's the one that was patterned after, because a lot of white inventors tried to duplicate his inventions. And whenever they fail or they didn't pan out, somebody would say, get rid of that piece of shit and get me the real McCoy, because he was so prolific in his inventions and so precise in what he did that nobody could even compete with the inventions that he made. And he modernized transportation. And I think Westinghouse was built on his inventions. I think it came out of his invention. So those are my top four.
Man, B, I gotta give it to you, Beasley. I can't dispute none of it. And matter of fact, let me give you your flowers, because at least once a month from here on out, we're gonna do a Black Mount Rushmore. Because although every person that you name happened to be black, what they did have an impact on everybody.
And everything.
And everything. So, now hold on. I'm going to take a 2-minute break here, because we got some other calls here. But when I open back up the mic, I want to come back. I want you to think about this. Because everybody that you name didn't deal with reparations. So I'm going to come back and ask you a question about that. Give me 2 minutes. Okay, let's go back to Beasley here. All right, Beasley, you got a real solid Mount Rushmore. Like I said, thanks for the – I'm giving you flowers now, because we're going to do this at least once a month, Black Mount Rushmores. And actually, you know what? this force, that before that you named was so solid, they don't even need to put black on it. But now let me ask you this. Those four people, let's throw in the fifth one as a, if we go to starting five analogy. If we follow those four, who needs reparations? That's my question. Do we need reparations if we follow those four to five examples that you just gave? That's my question.
I'm for reparations. And the reason why I'm for reparations is this. For the very reason that you put out your programs on reparation, because it gives us a chance to discuss the plight of the black person in this world. I don't give a damn whether we get reparations or not. I like to have the argument out there so that people have to recognize the achievements and the struggles of the blacks out here in America in the diaspora. Now, black folks really don't need reparations because, look, we can do whatever we need to do on our own, and we have done it. And the one thing that most people that argue against reparations don't understand is this. Five or six times there's been the golden era of the Negro in this country, and it has been destroyed purposely. Because white society can't afford for black folk to be independent of their oppression. And I'll give you a case in point. Number of times you've cited all of these black townships. Number of times you've cited all of these black commercial centers called Black Wall Streets. But I guess for lack of another name. Also, if you know the history, all you got to do if you wanted to see a black business district is drive down a freeway in a city and you'll see where scorched earth methods have been used to destroy black communities so that we couldn't get up and have a commercial center of our own like our black China, or like our Chinese, Chinatown.
Yeah, like Chinatown.
Like And if you look at the black person in the United States, they told us, hey, you're free to go with just the shirts with vests and clothes on our backs. And look at the achievements that we have accomplished from 1865 to 1915, where you had, 20 million acres of land that was acquired with the genius and with the hard work of black folks. Look at the organizations that was in play after blacks got out of slavery that was destroyed through violence and terrorism. And you mentioned sundown towns and everything else. So with that being the case, I put the argument out there so that we can let our folk know, hey, look, we've done all of these things before. We just have to revisit them because the racists in this country always put stumbling blocks in our way and we have to overcome them now. Should we lay down when they do that? No. But the thing is, I want America to know that, look, you didn't do this on your own. You're not the shining candle on the hill. All of this stuff about democracy and all of that bull, you can take that and flush it down the damn toilet because, hey, look, everything you got is stolen and gotten illegally. So with that being the case, that's the only reason I argue about reparations. As far as us getting what we're supposed to have, we can do that. So that's why I put that out there.
Well, you put out a very solid Mount Rushmore, and two of those gentlemen started out life as a slave, legally speaking.
And look, I give you this, Brother L.A., who says that you're not a slave now?
Yeah, you got a point. If you got a 30-year mortgage over your head, I call that slavery.
Hey, look.
You got a car note you're struggling with. Hey, that plays out here, no question.
Yeah, if you don't believe it, don't pay your property taxes and see what you got.
Now, you're right. Master will come along and snatch it up.
And look, here's the other thing. The currency is controlled by very few families. And they dictate what you can have, what you can eat, what you hear on your media and everything else. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you look at it, they control every aspect of your life. So now, who's to say that you're not a slave, brother?
You got me on that one. Well, I mean, based on your Mount Rushmore, I got to qualify my Mount Rushmore.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Yeah, you got a real solid one, though. You got a real, I mean, because it, the ones that you name are so fundamental. Okay, all right. Well, anyway, like, see, one of the people, I thank you for bringing them up. Area code 504, your mic is open.
Greetings, Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Week. I just want to let you know this evening at 6 p.m. Central, which would be 7 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be having a guest I had before. She's called the Math Lady. And okay. She's going to be talking about tips four tips to improve your math SAT score for working problems and tips to keep your kids engaged in math to minimize the summer slide. So she's called the Math Lady. She has a tutoring company out of Atlanta. It's called Math 101. And the Black Enterprise magazine has done articles on her. In fact, that name she gives herself, the Math Lady, she actually has that copyrighted. So that'll be 6 p.m. Central and 7 p.m. Eastern because I had her on before. I want to say
okay,
this.
Wake up New Orleans, right?
New Orleans, wake up. New Orleans, wake up.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go to my Mount Rushmore, but I want to quickly talk about if you Google Timnit Gebru, that was the Ethiopian sister who worked for Google. She was a researcher, and she was hired to look at the ethical issues of artificial intelligence. And one of the things she revealed is how a lot of artificial intelligence is programmed by white people and how that technology even picks black people out, such as facial recognition, how almost all the time it got the white faces correct, but when the black people, it was merged up and blurred. And so you might be walking somewhere and then you're accused of a crime. And so a lot of the black people who are in artificial intelligence are sounding the alarm of racist use of blacks as part of the program. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That is being discussed. Mount Rushmore, I have a current Mount Rushmore, the historic one. These would be on my Mount Rushmore. I would have Zeila Avant-Garde, who won the Spritz National Spelling Bee. I had a chance to meet her. I flew back in Saturday night. I went to a parade that was done for her in her neighborhood on Sunday. And I did a program yesterday entitled Zeila Avant-Garde, Spelling Champion in a Threat to Conservative Propaganda. And what made me do that show is Carol Thomas, a conservative columnist, tried to claim her as some sort of example of conservative idea. But let me tell you the stereotype. Let me tell you the stereotype she shatters that the conservatives are afraid of that I discussed in my show. Number one, the idea that black people are lazy and don't work hard. She shatters that stereotype. She's not a black immigrant. She's not a Nigerian. And some people like to praise black immigrants as having some work ethic. She's not that. Her name, Zeila Avant-Garde, is not a conservative name. You know, black children are ridiculed by the unique names they have. And their mothers are ridiculed. That's what whites do. And there's name discrimination of black people. So when black people are applying for jobs, the white applicants profile their name and throw the application on the side. So her name contradicts the image of what they think black people who don't have traditional needs. Okay, and she shatters the stereotype that fathers are not involved. This girl's father was the one who prepared her for the spelling bee. It was his idea. She talks about that in the interview. I had a chance to meet him and the mother, and I'll say something about that in a minute. She wears her hair natural. It's not relaxed. And black women and black girls have and continue to be harassed in the workplace, in the military, on athletic sports about their natural hair. It's called unsightly by the white people. They even have black newscasters who often reveal how they get these messages from white viewers complaining about their hair. But the girl hair is a natural, and her mother's hair is a natural also. Black sister. When you look at a picture of the little girl in her room, she got a big old poster of Che Guevara on the wall. On her father's Facebook page, the little girl is holding up a book, putting it to the camera, and the book is called Africa and Africans in the Making of the Atlantic World, 1400 to 1800 by John Thornton. The lie that black people don't support other black people who academically achieve, and we call them white, trying to be white. You know who was at that parade in that neighborhood? Black people. Mm-hmm. The white people were hardly there. You didn't see them damn crackers around there at all. Okay, black people supported her. Her win meant a lot to black people. And the very fact that black people are still starving for positive images of themselves shows you the type of psychological terror we still live under of propaganda and negative reporting of black people. Barack Obama obviously wasn't enough for black people to find somebody to be happy and proud about. Her parents are what whites would call black radicals. They're not these I'm an American citizen niggas. They are black radicals. And that's the fear, that you have a whole lot of black young people out here like that. She happens to win the spelling bee, which got worldwide attention. And so my other part on my Mount Rushmore.
That's a very good selection, by the way.
Yes. Another thing too, she's athletic. So not only is she intellectually have prowess, but she's also athletic. 3-time Guinness Book citation for juggling and bouncing basketballs, multiple basketballs at the same time. If you go to YouTube, fellas, they were putting stuff of this girl on YouTube when this girl was 6 years old. Stuff was on YouTube dated 2013. 2019, this is a bad little girl, okay? They're not wealthy. See, the problem I have with your Mount Rushmore, Ellie, is that they all were wealthy and privileged. Jeff Bezos, they say, is the wealthiest man in the world. But this young lady is not wealthy. Her family is not connected to anything. The Ethiopian Grand Renaissance Dam that's just been finished, is a feat. The whole African race should be proud that that's the largest hydroelectric dam on the African continent that Egypt and the Western world, including the United States, have been against. And with all the turmoil being fostered by the United States and Egypt and Ethiopia, they've been able to do the second filling of that dam, and now they're working to provide electricity to everybody in Ethiopia, including other African countries. You know, every black person should be proud of that feat. A country that has been wrecked by famine and people associated with it as a poor country has completed such a feat in all of this opposition we have. The other thing on Mount Rushmore I have is African-American youth and the youth of the continent of Africa for being creative and innovative with virtually having nothing and influencing other young people who are not black in many respects to want to be like them. That's what I would have on my current present Mount Rushmore.
You know, Warren,
yeah.
You got a solid Mount Rushmore too. Let me comment on the African youth.
Yeah.
A lot of the ideas for business that I got, and I don't really discuss a lot of them on here. I really need to, but I really love African innovation when it comes to business and renewable energy. There's one guest that I've tried to get on here three or four times. I communicated with him once. We were Facebook friends. A guy named William Makamba. He's originally from Malawi.
Okay.
Disney wrote a book about this guy. Well, let me tell you what William Makamba did. William came from a very poor family in rural Malawi in Africa. And his parents couldn't afford to pay the school fees, which include the library. But the librarian in this rural community, you know, gave him a solid and said, okay, well, although you can't, you know, you're not supposed to be in the library, but we'll let you use the library. And, you know, the library, you know, people donated books, and they found his way to this rural location in Malawi. And from this book, now, mind you, he learned how to build a windmill. His family did not have electricity. He learned by reading books at this rural library in Malawi how to build a generator via a windmill, and it gave his family electricity. Some kind of way, the story got back to white folks. And they came and saw what he did. He got offered a scholarship to Dartmouth University. He wrote a book, The Boy, it's on Amazon. Look up the name, William Makamba. He's got an e-book. He's got a book. He's got an audio book. And you can't get to him now. I was surprised, I mean, looking back on it, that I even got to – I only had one chat with him now. You got to go through – the battery of white folks that have surrounded this dude by now. And then Disney put out a film about this cat. It's still on Netflix. But
LA.
He's an example of African youth. Go ahead, Walter.
Oh, right. I just want to on my historic Mount Rushmore, I would have an image of a black woman giving birth because the black female gave birth to all human civilization. In fact, black females today in their DNA, when they do the DNA on the mitochondrial side, the overwhelming majority of black women in the United States, in particular around the world, their mitochondrial DNA will trace back to one of the variations of the original Eve on the continent. So I would have that on the Mount Rushmore. Then I would have Marcus Garvey on the Mount Rushmore. For the first time in the history of the African people, a person attempted to organize black people around the world, to where his organization had over 3 million people, chapters even in Australia, there on the African continent where he had never stepped foot. And then the third, I would have Louis Armstrong or something relative to jazz, because jazz music developed by African Americans truly was a world innovation, that a lot of modern music is built on jazz, which an element includes blues. Done by people who had nothing, had white people's names, everything stripped, but they created a sound that even the racists want to tap their foot to while they're oppressing black people. And the last thing, technology does not eliminate the practice of the race. We find right now that the innovations in technology, the issue of racist practices and racism comes up by people, black people, who are actually attempting to compete in those realms. And so I just wanted to share that stuff with you there. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Warren. Matter of fact, we got to do more of these Mount Rushmores because I'm getting educated. But the name of the book and the e-book, which is available on Amazon, and the name of the movie on Netflix, and it's definitely on Amazon. Amazon's got everything. The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I'm familiar with it,
And
there's a movie. There's a movie with that.
Yeah, there's a movie with it. Man, you gave a solid Mount Rushmore. That's a solid Rushmore. And the thing about Mount Rushmore, you can categorize
the African youth and the African-American youth are the future of the planet. You can only step down on people so much before they come up and their ingenuity and innovating and creativity shine. And we've been shining, and this was with duress put in our place.
Let me ask you this, Warren. Now, you and I just named one, William McCombie, the boy who harnessed the wind.
Yeah.
In light of and solid rock Mount Rushmore you gave, is there a need for reparations?
I think reparations is a complex topic. I think that it has been exploited, particularly during the election. And believe it or not, the group that exploited that was a group that was pro-Trump and that was ADOS. I find that very interesting. But that's a very complex discussion. And I would say at this point, the reparations black people need is for white people to stop all the games, move out the way, and let black people shine. That's what they're afraid of.
Okay. All right. Now, once again, let's promote your show for tonight with the Math Lady.
New Orleans Wake Up, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. The Math Lady returns, and she's going to talk about 4 tips to improve your math SAT score for working problems and tips to keep the kids engaged in math to minimize the summer slide and some other suggestions as well. And she's going to be having an online boot camp. She's going to discuss in September an online SAT math boot camp.
Okay. All right. Oh, Warren, what's the phone number for that?
Oh, 516. Never memorized this thing. It's going to be 516-387-1933. 516-387-1933. 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern today.
Okay, now we're going to pick back up on this Mount Rushmore tomorrow because it's somebody that Beasley mentioned, and I want to cover him tomorrow. Matter of fact, I might. William Washington Brown, who I didn't know 24 hours, hell, an hour ago I didn't know who he was. I want to cover him tomorrow, and I want to cover some what you mentioned, the African youth. Now, I'm going to bring up William Makamba, but I like what you guys brought up because a lot of people don't know about these people. And if more people become aware of them, particularly black folk, I know it can definitely make some major, you guys gave up some solid Mount Rushmores. So thank you all for that. Tune in to Warren this evening on Blog Talk Radio. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.